Welcome to Need for Speedrunning Pit Stop Edition. That's right, it's that time of month again where we do the other kind of episode we do, which is just, you know, sometimes more of a chill hangout thing because
we vibe.
Yeah, GDQ happened this month, and we're just tired still. I'm going to keep leaning on that crutch the whole year.
One of the key intros of all time from Luigi.
It's the most truth you'll get in these intros. I'm Luigi's Apartment, famous for, I don't know. Joining me is Hobbs. How are you, Hobbs?
I'm doing good. Long day, tired, but very excited to talk to our third guest we have with us.
Yes, who is that? Is that in the distance?
Is it Toad? Is it Luigi? Is it Mario? Is it maybe all three? But never Peach, apparently. I don't know. It's Sky Mills. What's up, Sky?
Hello. How are y'all doing? Thank you for having me here.
Doing good.
Yeah, having a great time. I was actually playing a lot of SMB 1 and 2 this evening before we got on here. Which, because I have my Mario Game & Watch not too far at, like, all times. So, actually, while I was watching your GDQ run on the Shuffler, I was like, I should plug that in and just play that while I'm watching. So, yeah. Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about Sky Bills?
Well, we were talking about this before. I'm not going to give you the 400-page, 10 years of experience thing. But hello, I'm Sky Bills. I love, lately, been streaming a lot of variety content. Speedrunning, TCGs, you kind of name it. I've done it lately. I know as of this recording, GoldenEye 64 has also re-released for the Switch. So I'm looking forward to getting into that.
Oh, just, boy.
All around, just having a good time. I'm the host of RNG and Mercy Kill, both on GDQ Hotfix as well. I'm sure you all have talked about GDQ Hotfix just a little bit here, so there's that
whatever
little
connection do you
mean between myself. Oh, well, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Sky.
Sure, everyone sure seems to be very, 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 very excited for that GoldenEye, and it's the first time I've seen people posting about the N64 subscription for the Switch. So, hey, they finally got a hit.
People, like, that game, when anybody kind of fondly remembers it or whatever, and then they have to go back and realize how that game is controlled on an actual N64...
You know, we were saying that in 2002, so it's still probably true, but, you know, it'll be fun for like a few months. I'll get sure together with some friends.
But what are we really talking about here today, Luigi?
I don't know. Mario games, 2D Mario games. Sky, what prompted you at least to do the Shuffler to yourself? Because I actually want to try doing this now. It looks like a lot of fun. So how did this pop up at least? Why don't we start with there?
Well, the first thing that happened is my partner, Author Blues, was like, you should see what Brescentia's working on right now. And I'm like, okay. So Auth and I both sit down and I see what Brescentia's working on. And I'm like, okay, so it's like you're playing all these games at once, and it's going to be dropped inputs ahoy here. You know, you have to make sure you're on the ground and all that. Well, Auth's like, wait. So Auth did his own version of the Shuffler, inspired by Brescentia's version. He's like, can you test this for me? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So that is the first thing I booted up was the Mario All-Star Shuffler, because I actually have run Super Mario All-Stars. I believe I have like a 225 in all games worthless, which is, it's pretty good. It's pretty modest, not bad. And I was like, all right, well, let's try it from this perspective. And I did a few races of it with my friends. And I'm like, there's no way this is marathon stable. And now we're having this episode. And that is just wild for me to think about. That, like, my first impression while playing this is, oh, this is fun to do for content, but I don't know if this is marathon stable. And then what had happened from there was I submitted it to Frame Fatale, one of the two Frame Fatales of the year. And it was a big hit. Like, I was the finale. I was selected for the finale. Everything went along pretty well. That was the first time I actually integrated Special World. So a little bit of an insider information here. I had never done Special World on the Shuffler prior to that thing. Like, I hadn't practiced it. I hadn't done anything. I just did a dry run, and I hoped everything had ended up working out, which it did for there. So I ended up submitting the same game and the same incentives to AGDQ 2023 online, and I can't believe it had gotten in. But I think GDQ had a little bit of faith in me because myself and Keysron ran Yu-Gi-Oh! Forbidden Memories the year before. So they probably figured, well, if Sky can do that, then, you know, she can probably do this as well, too. So that's probably about the long and short of my history with All-Stars and the Shuffler.
If you take this game that is just pure dice rolls over and over and over again and can somehow make that fit within an estimate, then, yeah, you could probably take this extremely hard challenge and make it work as well.
Yeah, and shave some time off from between the two marathons. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's wonders what one practice session can do difference between the two. Another fun thing. So I did not know. I knew that Mario World had been accepted as an incentive. I did not know till day of they were still planning on doing the Special World incentive.
Day of,
one of the producers approached me saying, if we meet Super Mario World, do you want to do Special World? And I was like, okay, give me a second. And like the minute I got done with that conversation, I booted up my thing and I at least wanted to have like some kind of practice on Special World and Shuffler. So I did that right before my run. I actually did two runs back to back. Would not recommend to folks doing practicing for GDQ. Do not, and I mean, do not practice a full run before you actually have your run. It is exhausting.
I actually absolutely agree with that. It's like get all your practice in the days leading up to the event, and then unless if you're later in the evening, you can do some warm up, you know, you could do some little practice and stuff, but like that morning, that day, just relax, you know, just take that day to chill. One of the couple runs I did was the first day of the marathon, so I didn't get to do it that way. But I absolutely agree. I think it's a lot better when you do it that way.
and don't do something like a Shuffler either, maybe, to yourself right before that, because it's going to be different every time. And I mean, I'm not telling you, I'm telling them. I just feel so bad for you now.
It's funny we mentioned practice, though, because I did a full run with commentary like the Sunday of GDQ. So GDQ starts that Sunday. I do a full on practice with Author Blues, Fan TV, and Auglet, my couch, and I get it done. Now, granted, I didn't have to do Special World, but I get all five done in 102 with an estimate of 140, and I was like, Sky, you didn't die enough. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about this? That's just the way it turned out. No, seriously, I think I only died like five or six times, which isn't a ton for the Shuffler.
No.
And I was like, maybe this is a little too practiced, because at first I'm like, I'm going to do $2 per death. Like, I was like, no, don't PG. If you're doing $5 per death, if you're playing this good, and I'm like, All right, whatever. So,
do you remember what the death total was? I know it was like around or over 8 for a while, but I'm trying to remember 17. What the final was. 17.
It was 17. 17.
Okay, because
most of those deaths, though, and this is why I saved time over the Fatale run, most of the deaths were very snowballed and quick.
Exactly.
So, like, when I died in succession. I didn't die at really key, terrible spots. Most of the time, it was just like, oh, I died here. Oh, yeah, I died here. Most of them were in Mario 1 because, you know, words I can't say on this podcast.
Oh, you can say whatever the fuck you want on this podcast.
Well, I mean, you may not be able to talk mad shit about SMB1 just because I'm here, though. I really love that game. So.
Oh, I feel ways about SMB1. The physics in that game in particular are the worst. So
I talked about this
during my GDQ run, but the thing that I did to prepare for this is I actually did a Castlevania Shuffler, and that's what I used to practice for the Shuffler, because again, I didn't want to be too practiced at the Mario games, because again, I was going to pay per death. It was going to be fun. Shuffler is about making mistakes and having fun with those mistakes. So I practiced using a Castlevania 1, 3, 3, and 4 Shuffler, two instances of Castlevania 3, because 2 is just way out in left field for this. So that was ridiculous.
That is is such a bizarre way to practice for a speedrun showcase. It's to just play four completely different games. But have you, I believe you've done like a fair amount of other Shuffle stuff as well, right? Like what is kind of, obviously we heard how you got into it, but what has kind of drawn you to doing, you know what, actually, let me back up. We should probably explain what the hell a shuffler is in case anybody isn't familiar, just, you know, just tuning into the podcast and hasn't like watched this. You should go watch the I was gonna say episode, but you should go watch the run from AGDQ 2023. But what the BizHawk shuffler is it takes pretty much any game that you can run in BizHawk, an emulator, and you set a time with a time range in which the program will switch which game you are playing on the fly. So for Sky's Run, I believe it was 30 to 60 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Any time after 30 seconds and before a minute, that game is going to switch completely randomly to any of the other games you have in your pool, but it's going to leave off exactly where you were. It will remember exactly what position you were in, with what momentum you were going with, you know, what speed and everything. So if you are jumping, sailing over a pit in SMB2 lost levels and you switch and then you come back to it in 4 minutes, you better remember you were over a pit. Like, you better have just started holding right already. Because, yeah, it's extremely tough.
I had a dream it would end like this.
Yeah. But you could do it with, like, a bunch of different games. So what has kind of led you to want to mess around with that more?
Well, I've actually been working on different shuffler things to do. So Spike Vegeta and I agreed on a 9-game shuffler that we did one day just for the fun of it. And we picked games that we were both like kind of good at. And we had familiarity with games from the other. And it was utter chaos. I would say my recommendation for the shuffler is to try to stay within the same genre. If you're going to do a platforming shuffler, make sure you stay with all platforms. I tried doing a multi-genre shuffler once. You know, we put beat-em-ups, puzzle games, etc. in there. It didn't work out well. It was just really easy to lose stuff. Like, for example, I put Clue, Super Nintendo, in the middle of that. And I was like, this just felt odd to me. And not only that, I wasn't putting really any inputs into the controller either. So that messed up whatever game followed that. I would not recommend. So then next, it was during the last MoMAM that I Eat Your Pie and Spike Vegeta did. They did a Mario shuffler, except they decided to put Bubsy in there. Bubsy won. Mm-hmm. And I told them, this is a really bad idea. It is a platformer, so it fit, but this is not a good idea. Well, I ended up playing with them. So the thing was, you didn't have to beat Bubsy. You just had to keep playing Bubsy until all the Mario's were over. Then you could turn it
off. That's punishment in its own right, though. That's...
So I played with them, and about after, now this was warpless, mind you, it wasn't any percent. Any percent is actually what made it marathon stable, actually, because you add in warpless. It's, well, I just PB'd under 4 hours, I want to say. I used to have a 5.5 time. Now I have a 3:59 now in warpless All-Star Shuffler. But before then, it was 5.5 hours, and I finished at 5.5. Spike's like, excuse me, what? Did you just say you finished? And I'm like, yeah. And I even finished, like, a ton of stages in Bubsy. He's like, oh, my gosh, Sky. So that's when I knew I was really on to something. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the silliest speedrunning superpower to have, but I might as well put it to good use, you know? So
yeah, I mean, I've watched friends try this. I watched my good buddy Not So Newbie do, like, 30 games in a shuffler or whatever as a gag. It took him I remember his timer got to 20 something hours over a couple days. I don't think he ever finished it all, but like plenty of people, I've seen Spike do it, I've seen Pi do it, like so many people have tried them, and these are generally, even for just a few games, 10 hour plus sessions. Like these are long things where you're dying over and over, and if the games are old and you got to game over and then start a whole world over, it's brutal. The fact that you're able to take that and just turn it into like a weird discovered skill, right? Like a weird found skill, is unbelievably cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And again, like I said, I don't know if I would have picked this speedrunning superpower for myself, but I used it for good and we raised a lot of money for charities. So yeah. I was really happy with how it turned out. You know, and for that matter, 17 deaths, actually, that felt like the sweet spot of deaths. It was enough for me to laugh at my deaths, but it wasn't enough to, like, for me to feel like, oh my gosh, maybe I didn't play well enough. You know, right. I didn't feel so sensitive about the way I played. I feel like it was just the right amount for entertainment, but enough to get through it and not and keep the marathon rolling. Mm. So,
and like I said, for like for over half of it, it was under 10 deaths, I think. Like it was unbelievable. And you add in, you know, some of the like special world and all the other stuff. So it's just like, yeah, that, I absolutely agree with you. Okay. I think every marathon run of a very hard game or a very technical display of skill needs some mistakes in it for a showcase run. I've always said the same thing about critical mode runs of Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, don't be upset about a death, because a death proves to everybody how skilled you've been up until that death. Like that is,
yeah.
I always think that those are actually very helpful.
So any questions y'all have or any first impressions you had while watching the run? When did you watch it? How did you feel while watching it? I'm happy to take any questions here amongst y'all as well.
You made it seem like, oh, I could do this. I my any percent skills are very rusty in these games, but I know them really, really well. And I was like, oh, yeah, this looks easy. Just there's no way this is hard. And then like I hear you guys are like, oh yeah, 10 hours people do this, and I'm like, okay, maybe not. I picked up some stuff. I guess I usually keep food in Yoshi's mouth at all times because I might need to shoot someone, but I never considered it to be like another mushroom. Like it's a backup safety health. Or just carrying something. Like I was like, you're on dry ground. Why are you carrying a P-switch if you're not going to use it? I was like, I've just never done that in Mario World. And like all the time I played it, I was like, huh, that's pretty good. All right. I'm taking notes now. I don't know. I'm a huge Mario 2D Mario dork, and it was like a celebration of insanity, and I loved it. So, yeah.
I will tell you, you know, you're talking about Mario World. One of the toughest things to do in that, and I know I made it look easy, was keeping cape pumps in between the things. I was the most nervous during Outrageous, because if you lose flight in that stage, you are dead. And not only are you dead, you have to go back and get power-ups, and that takes a lot of switching over, because at the end, I decided to take on more Lost Levels worlds. Don't ask me why. I did it for entertainment. I did it to maybe show off a little, maybe a little too much. Maybe I was a little too confident, but I did it. You know, if people paid for it, I did it.
It didn't look like it. You took a – you lost Blue Yoshi, you know. Rest in peace, buddy. But, like, other than that, like, it did not look like – it's just very casually like, oh, well, we lost Blue Yoshi, but I still got my capes. There's one on Mondo where it came back and you were about to hit the water and save that cape too. I'm just like, yeah, look how easy this is. I can do this. I can totally do this.
That is my most common comment right now to these videos. It's like, Sky, you did safety strats. I can do it. I'm like, all right, let's see you try and do it then.
I was going to point out how you didn't do safety strats. But like, as before that, as somebody who like did, we did All-Stars recently for the first step, and I have very little experience with like classic 2D Marios and stuff. So I knew watching that, I was like, no. These cape pumps are not as easy as they seem. It's a very rhythmic timing thing. I was having trouble with them just doing them to begin with. The SMB1 just sucks. Are you like me? Do you think Lost Levels is actually the best game out of them? Because for me, that's my opinion. I think Lost Levels is the best one.
I'm a bit biased. I probably put some of the most speedrunning and competitive times into Lost Levels, because that is the only way you can play Lost Levels in a shuffler.
Right.
I don't want to say that about all the other games, but for Lost Levels in particular, you need to have a familiarity with it before you put it into a shuffler. Mm-hmm. And you probably should use Luigi, because Mario feels like he's got lead in his pants the entire time. And that's terrible for a shuffler.
Always be Luigi-ing. Obviously.
Yeah. Just make sure that you know, get him out of the apartment every now and then. Gotta get him out on the track.
Sometimes. Get him on. Yeah. I think even 2SA is it, some people are like not as good at it or don't like it as much, but actually the critical any percent path isn't that bad. You know, you have to take out some bosses and stuff, you know, but the carpetless was awesome though.
Oh, the carpetless was so cool. Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because I was talking about a different route I took in the middle of Any Percent. You're typically supposed to go to World 6 from World 4, and I chose to go back to 3 into 5, and then 5 to 7. And the reason why I did this was I used to go to an event called Southern Speedrunning Summit. Miss it to pieces. But Darvian and I sat down and worked through the sixes together because at the time I was putting up pretty competitive All-Stars Warpless times. And I'm like, okay, show me how to 6-2. And he does it. And he does it. I do it the first few times. I die. I think after maybe about 25 minutes or so, I got 6-2, and I told Darb, there's no way I'm doing this in a competitive run. So after that, I started doing my Any Percent routing, especially in the Shuffler through World 5. It was just something that felt better. It wouldn't lose me that much time. Mm-hmm. I have zero shame. I think it amounted to like an extra stage total between like the menuing and the stuff I needed to do. So
I mean, it was fine. A couple of deaths very quickly turned that into a time loss going for the more optimal route. So I 100% agree with that. And I was curious because for the shuffle, like when I've watched other people do it, when you could tell, you get this internal clock and you're like, it's been like 20, 25 seconds or something. the game might be switching on me pretty soon. Most people are like, okay, well, I'm going to be a little hesitant around this pit over here. Maybe not go for this jump. I'll wait a little bit, or I'm going to go do this. But you were just like, nah, full send. Let's go the whole time. Just constantly going for it. What part, like, is there anything where you were ever considering, like, I'm going to take a little bit of safety, or were there bits where you were taking safety that was just hard for us to notice because I'm just watching you jump over pits?
Bowser's Castle Mario 3, I took a blatant safety. I stopped right before Bowser started spewing fire, and I slid off the donut right into the pit.
Yeah.
I think I was so shocked. I was so shocked I did tubular on first try that I just completely lost my bearings of where I was. And that, in that moment, you all saw my guard go down. But you want to know what? I thought it was really funny. Because the Bowser battle that ensued after that, when I didn't have the power-ups I needed, was terrifying, and it was really awesome. Bowser missed me by about that much twice, and I'm just like, get me out of this game now. It made for good TV. You know, there it goes again. I've had a few people message me since with a compliment saying, you played to entertain. I mean, yes, you had talent, but you played to entertain, and I wish more people would take that into their marathon runs. You know, a lot of people kind of seem full of themselves, or they have to show off, where I feel like a marathon is just an extension of your stream, right? It's a no reset run. We can't take those that seriously. That's just the way no reset runs go, frankly. So I was there first and foremost as an entertainer and streamer, and then maybe second to show off a few things. And I do feel like going forward, that's where speedrunning within marathons is going. That's not where the super polished stuff's supposed to take place. That's where the styling's supposed to happen, and the entertainment and the fun. And I feel like going forward, we're going to see less of those stiff, like, world record runs, and more of, like, the freestyle, you know, whatever happens, happens. That comes with no reset territory.
You're saying 360 no scope, the final enemy chopper, even if it puts you over estimate when you miss. Yeah.
Well, what inspired that whole mindset was, I remember going back to the Super Metroid races, right? And you didn't know if everyone was going to finish. I remember when it was just down to Behemoth. I remember being in the marathon room, and Behemoth was the Lone Ranger going into the end of the game. And I'm like, this is way more exciting, knowing whether or not the run might not finish. Like, maybe not for GDQ staff with that safe kill incentive on the line, but for me. For me, that was exciting. I'm like, I would much rather have something like that. And that's where the idea for Mercy Kill came in as well, too.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, one of the things we do on kind of our other episodes for this podcast is we always talk about the runs we watch from a perspective of, like, kind of watchability, like how easy is it to follow this run and understand it and stuff. And time again, we find ourselves coming back to runners who do such a great job with their commentary, or picking games that are specifically, like, you could totally follow everything that's happening. And I totally agree that, like, it's a performance when you're up there on GDQ doing a run, and it's more about making sure it's entertaining. Somebody just had the stupidest fucking episode of TFS ever last night, where my game crashed. I lost 10 minutes. Keys did a contest in Pokemon Sapphire. Like, it, yeah, I'm with you all the way. It's about keeping it entertaining.
I wouldn't want to be having technical issues, computer crashing for over 10 minutes.
No.
If Keys wasn't there. So, you know, he's a good person to have to like bullshit for 10 minutes or make things work. So,
I mean, he crashed my pilot of mercy kill. I mean, 8 minutes in. Oh, my save file got corrupted. No, Keys, no. I wouldn't have it any other way. That was a very, classic fun moment. And it was very, it had a lot of levity to it. And I absolutely love Keys for that. We had a great time on that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, notice that everything I've done at GDQ so far is Skyvilles puts herself against RNG and barely comes out on top. Oregon Trail back in 15. That's pretty much, honestly, Oregon Trail. Floppy disk game. There's a lot of stuff that could go wrong there. And then we had Yu-Gi-Oh! Forbidden Memories. We all knew what could go wrong there. And then we had the Shuffler. And I guess I keep pulling out these really heavy RNG runs and somehow they succeed in a marathon. And I wonder when my luck is going to run out. So I just get hesitant to submit to the next GDQ because I know one day I'm going to go too far. And until I reach that, I'm going to keep submitting.
What's going to happen is you and Arthur are finally going to get, what is it, Cookies and Cream? Is that the name of it?
Oh, and, we'd play that at Calithon. In 19, yeah.
That's going to be the one that, like, somehow all the everything goes off the rails. I don't even know if there's RNG in that game, but just completely goes off the rails, and you that you're going to be like, what? How? How is this happening now and never happened before?
Yeah, we're if we eventually go back in person, like if Arthur and I end up going back in person, that's definitely a run we're going to submit. That, and there was a co-op Lord of the Rings game we've worked on for years. Never knew if that was going to make it in, and then Maxi Loeb submitted it.
Oh, yeah. Got it in on Return solo. Of the King.
Terrific run, by the way. Go check that one out. Maxi Loeb's was terrific.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now that we know that they're going to take Lord of the Rings, maybe we should start practicing this again. So I definitely think the next one might have to be co-op, because Arthur and I have yet to do a co-op run on the stage. Arthur and Lack Attack did, if you remember that one.
Yes,
run.
I do, yeah.
But Auth and I is, so that's the thing, right? Like, Auth and I are so different at speedrunning Super Mario World. I tend to go for, like, marathon safe, race straight, safe strats, where Auth will just go full throttle everything. There's no way we could do one mine. I think we would argue right there on the stage.
Your SMB won 8-1, where he was just like, why aren't you going full speed?
I was so mad at him. Oh, cool. Well, you noticed he was griefing me the entire time. That was his role, you know, and sadly, that wasn't just an act. He does that in my everyday life to me, so I'm glad everybody got to see that.
We caught some of it at a Speedrun Coliseum when, like, we were all doing the Shuffler at the end too, and there were like 20 something games or whatever, and all we had to do were these like tiny goals, and it still took us like an hour longer than we were supposed to. It's just awful, but it was a blast. It was super fun. And just everybody shitting on each other. It was so great.
Every time something went wrong, 20 of us looked at Arthur, and Arthur's like, okay. And he gets up and he goes over to the computer. I'll fix it.
Those damn N64 games or whatever it was that kept messing with.
Oh, God.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What all was on there?
Yeah, it was like one game. I think it was Soten, right? Soten
was having some trouble with resolution stuff, yeah. I think. And then I think some of the N64 games were just straight up refusing. Like, did Diddy Kong Racing work? I don't remember if it worked or not.
That one was questionable. I remember that.
Yeah.
What was the goal in that?
Probably beat,
I think, just Dino Domain.
Yeah, it was probably like beat two tracks and then very quickly became beat one track, because that's what all of our goals were. I had like beat warp one in one and two, maybe even in crash two and three, and then it very quickly became like beat a stage in each of them or game over, and I chose game over.
Auth and I had a good talk with Spike after that. I assure you the next time around is going to be way more organized.
But we are 100% doing it again. It was so funny. And it was a blast.
It was every $1,000 too we got to pick out of the bucket. That was always a fun time.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk to you about a lot more than just the Shuffler, but Luigi, you had a few moments written down and stuff too as well. Anything else you wanted to jump into about the run from GDQ 2023?
The little things that can throw you off, like even when it's not shuffling, because you're just in a heightened sense of awareness because the shuffle could happen at any time, or like even after like a painfully woeful shuffle. And like, you know, it's not going to shuffle for like 30 seconds. There's still just like, you're just kind of on the edge of your seat or, you know, whatever. But like the Iggy fight where you popped off of him at the end, and that, and then like, and then you saw the fireball, and like, it's like you're safe. You're probably not going to hit it, but like your reaction of I forgot all about his fireball, of that, just like that sympathetic nervous system kicking in, like you're just constantly like in, you know, fight mode or something. So I was like, yeah, these little things where I'm like, oh, I would look out for that. You're like, I'm going to die, or something. Like, you can, your eyes get really wide or something.
Yeah. Do you find yourself like on edge more when you're doing the shuffler than doing like a speed run of All Stars or anything?
Not necessarily. I mean, the part that's tough about the shuffler is I have to, you know, like imagine a car that has, if it has both automatic and manual transmission, like at the same time, that's what I kind of feels like. You have to change off of automatic and like go to manual right away. Cause like you were talking about that fireball, right? That is exactly an instance where I had to shift over from just me being in entertainment mode, having fun, to, okay, I have to actually think about this for a sec. Hang on. And then, you know, that's how I was able to survive. And I apparently am really good at flipping that switch on and off. That's what makes me good at the shuffler.
That sounds exhausting.
You're mentally tired. Yeah. I have to take a nap after every single time, which is why my biggest regret was doing a full practice run before my run.
Right.
But the problem was, is that Stepmania, and this is good for charity, mind you, it kept meeting incentives and meeting incentives and meeting incentives. So I had this big block of time in the middle of the night where I'm just having to think about it. And I'm just like, okay, let's, you know, get some practice in, I guess. So
it makes sense. Oh man.
Anything else? Any other questions you have about the experience or anything?
I don't know. I just like the Dragon Ball Z announcer stuff. That was good. So good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the thing. Like, the thing that kind of gives me an edge in these high pressure situations at this marathon, you know, you got people who donate money to meet incentives. You have to keep going through this and you have to keep meeting that. Is that I, back in 2019, I was thrown to the lions by Wizards of the Coast, and I went from kitchen table magic to professional level pro tour magic in a matter of 3 months. So if I could handle that, I could handle anything. You know, I played a feature match in front of 100,000 people in front of a 2-time world champion. Didn't know at the time when I played him and beat him. So I figured if I could do that, I knew pretty much anything.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the Luigi, you had the note for it too as well, but the you might find yourself on on an airship.
That was all his fault. I blame him.
This is not my beautiful good. Mario 2. It was really funny. Honestly, stacked commentary team. How'd you end up picking your commentators? Was it just an easy call to begin with, or were, because you know a ton of awesome people in the speedrunning world, and did you already kind of just have it settled though? You're like, I'm definitely going with these three.
Well, I went with Fant because she was one of the commentators for my Fatal run, so I wanted to have one of my Fatal runs with fellow Fatal commentators with me. Auth was the developer of the current shuffler model I was running on, and Ogliv and I had done so many bad idea shuffler races together. How could I not have Auth? I suggest a bad idea, Ogliv's just like, oh yeah, let's do this, you know, so.
Down a 40, let's go, all right.
Frankly, if he has to deal with my shit off that, he deserves to be on that panel, you know, like, why not? And just the chemistry between my couch was just really good. It really
yeah,
together
it
well.
Was. It was great.
What are some of these awful shufflers that what's the worst one?
This is Spike's fault. I put Aladdin in a shuffler one time.
You talked about that a little bit during the run too. Yeah,
that was so bad. I would not recommend that lava level with the scrolling. Oh, Sky, it's only 32 seconds. Yeah, 32 seconds of me shitting myself. Yes, thank you. That was terrible. It was just terrible.
And if you get your shuffle halfway through it, you know, it's not 32 seconds. It's 15, and then you die, and then you do it again. It's going to shuffle in the middle again.
I had never, like, I had put Wizard of Oz into a shuffler before, and it wasn't that bad. Like, it was just that one section was terrible.
This sounds like the shuffler sounds like experimenting with psychotropics. You're just like, I don't know, man, I mixed this in one time and like we just had a bad trip. So I just probably won't put that in the mix next time.
Well, Spike wasn't happy with me when I put Super Mario Kart in the shuffler. He's like, I didn't realize how bad this game was. This game did not age well. And just the whole time, he just did not have a good time with that game.
Yeah.
Well, because you have to hold A to accelerate, so when it goes back, if you're not holding the accelerate, you just break.
And then if you lose...
Yeah, it's not forgiving at all.
Oh, man. Have you ever... So I've always wondered... always thought with the shuffler, because it seems like a really fun time, like very chaotic and a blast, especially if you're racing people. But I've always wondered, what is there... an interesting world where rather than a random order, it is always cycling in a consistent order where you get to actually try to play around that and remember, like, okay, I'm over this pit in 6-2, SMB 2 or something, J.
It's a lot.
And like 4 games later, you know, I'm coming back to SMB 2. Do I remember where I was? Like, is that something that you've ever thought about trying or something that's kind of a thought process you've ever had with it? Because I think that could be like a really, really interesting way to do it. It would not be the same level of chaos, but it could be a way of like you of really testing your memory more than anything else.
Well, it depends on what your goal is, right? Like if your goal is content, you lose a lot of content by not doing the random order.
Sure.
And I feel like that's the whole function of the shuffler. Sure, if you want to put up some consistent times and maybe start making a leaderboard of that, absolutely. That would be fantastic. But most people who put on the shuffler want the chaos. They want the content because...
It's like a crowd control, right? It's like you're not playing that to do well.
You're not playing it to live. You're playing it to make mistakes and lots of them.
Right.
That's the kind of thing you sit down with your friends on a Friday or Saturday night. You crack open a beer and you just be like, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like that is my recommended way to play the shuffler. And hence why I told people at the event, you know, I said anybody of any skill level can play these. And that's what I love about them. It's just such an accessible format. You don't have to be a pro. I mean, the only reason why I look so good at the Mario games is I've done so many speedruns of them, and I've played that game my entire life. You give me an entirely different set of games, I probably would take me 10 hours.
These games don't have to be good.
Yeah. In fact, they're often not.
Nope.
But yeah,
that's a good thing.
It's like randomizers. Like anybody can jump into a randomizer. Your first seed might take you 12 hours or might 7 hours or whatever. It depends on the game. But like, it doesn't matter. Just because you've seen people beat them in an hour and a half, it doesn't matter. You can still have tons of fun jumping into it for a long experience and playing it over a few days if you got to or anything like that.
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing with our first randos. It's probably going to take a few, but we're doing it like once a month for like an afternoon. Yeah. Mm. Probably take a while. But
which randomizer are you jumping into?
We're doing Link's Awakening over on the Zelda podcast. And the first... 2 seeds did not go well, but there's always that moment at the beginning of the randa that like, yes, everything is going perfectly. And then like, no, I can't find anything. This is tragedy. And so, you know, we had those ups and downs and then the third seed, I think really, really started to kind of get the hang of it.
But, makes sense. Well, you brought it up before, Sky, but why don't we talk a little bit about your Hotfix shows? Because you are a showrunner for not just one, but 2 GDQ Hotfix shows. Tell us a little bit. Tell like everybody who isn't familiar about Mercy Kill what like Mercy Kill is.
So Mercy Kill is all about rusty games. Again, I am a big proponent for accessibility in gaming, and not just, you know, we do have physical accessibility in gaming, but there's also that mental accessibility, mm-hmm. right? In terms of like, we don't know how long it's been since you've practiced this game. It could have gone entirely rusty. Maybe you're discouraged from returning to it. Maybe you're burnt out. There's that mental health aspect to it, right? Mercy Kill provides a platform where once one is ready to return to a game, this is one way to return to a game. And it's all about rusty runs. You're not allowed to practice. You can go through basic controls or anything that's super anxiety inducing. I'd be like, okay, you can do it. Just don't overly practice it. You know, I always go by how comfortable the runner is. Runner comfort is first. And someone plays through a rusty game with a pretty generous estimate. And it's a fantastic time. You know, again, it is that joy in seeing the rust, the joy in seeing the mistakes, the joy in seeing the runners remember stuff after all that time. You know, they sit there, there's a little bit of a struggle, and then all of a sudden, and it's like, oh, I remember what was going on. Like, I love seeing those moments, right? So it's all about just refamiliarizing runners with their games. And then at the end, I always ask, you want to revisit this game? And I get all kinds of different responses from that. And I say, don't tell me before. You might feel different by the end. Just think about that question now and let me know how you feel by the end of it. So it's kind of like this whole, like, got burnt out on a game, here's a great way to return to it on your own time. So,
and you're leaving out, in my opinion, the biggest hook of it, which is if you hit that estimate, if that timer hits, run's done, run's over. Like, that's it's getting mercy killed. You cannot complete, you do not get to finish it. You have that that estimate. You're right up against it. yeah, I think I'm one for one on your show. One and one. I am one for two. We had a third one planned that unfortunately I couldn't, the scheduling, like, we ran into some issues, but we'll have to make that happen. Cause I gotta redeem myself again and get a positive record.
Oh, absolutely. And I always tell folks, like, how much rust do you want me to have? I mean, it could be anywhere from like 6 months to 10 years. I mean, it was such a long time since Mitch Flowerpower had done Mega Man 3. I mean, when we think of Mitch Flowerpower, we think of Mario 3, right? We never think of a Mega Man game. So Mitch was on for a Mega Man game, and that was just wild seeing these runners. You wouldn't think of run some of these games in series, and you see them back at it, and it's just like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool throwback, if anything.
I definitely agree. What's your favorite part about running Mercy Kill? Is it just getting to see these wild situations for these runners, or is it something else?
It's getting to know the people that I work with. I mean, I always tell people, you know, the timer aspect's fun, and that's good from the audience point of view. But this is all about yourself. This is all about your experiences with speedrunning, about your story, your journey. And this game is part of that journey. So it's learning the stories and the journeys behind these games. I mean, again, the timer's fun and all, but most of the time the runners want to come on just to share their stories with the games. And whatever happens, happens with the timer. They can't practice anyways, right? You might as well tell a good story along the way. So that is the proponent I like the most. Although seeing the audience's reactions when it gets close to time, that is also quite fun. I remember 8F got within a minute. Now, Twilight Princess, it's a long game. It's a very long-ass game. 8F got within a minute of finishing on Twilight Princess when it was Mercy Games.
Oh, no. That's even closer than,
yeah, it was like four
than me. I think it was like less than 5 minutes for Kingdom Hearts.
How long did the Zelda RNG segment take him?
Oh goodness, I remember that took a little while. At least the first time. I think we had a redemption arc, which is what we do if runs finish within a couple minutes. Like, if you get Mercy killed within like 2 minutes of the run, I try to plan a redemption arc before the year is over just to see if they can give it one more try, you know. And I think ADF did get past it on the second try, because that was such a widely watched episode, I couldn't help but do that again. That's the thing, right? I Hobbs, yours was rather close. Yeah, wasn't Kingdom Hearts?
Kingdom Hearts was like less than 5 minutes, I think. At the end.
Yeah, like, given the length of that game, that would be grounds for redemption arc.
Well, then what the hell?
Because it's such a lengthy game.
then where's my redemption arc?
What are we doing? Let's cut over to the studio. And
I'm about to de-rust that run in a couple weeks. So if we got to make it happen quickly.
Oh.
If
heck. Well, dang, I didn't realize it was going to be that much. Although we've talked about it.
We've got other games. We'll make it happen.
We had a couple, so there's always plenty over there with J-Hop. How about you, Luigi? You got anything you played that you want to do?
I have most goals on Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
Oh, heck yeah. I love that.
But no, I think I actually playing SMB2 for the first, or Lost Levels for the first time in like a long time. I do not remember that game at all, but when did you ever play Super Mario Brothers Deluxe?
I do not believe so. No.
Oh, it had 1 and 2 on it, so I carried that with me for years because I could just play 1 and 2 like whenever I wanted to, and it also had like all these like challenge and points based things. So it was a lot of not speed running, but like squeezing every single coin out of a level while also trying to get the fastest time because of the points at the end of the level and the fireworks. And so it was like this combo speed and point thing. Yeah.
What you're describing is Mario 35 to me. Like,
That's my most favorite game that ever existed. Nintendo took it away from us.
So good.
I never played it. I didn't play that one. Actually, Tetris 99 is the only one of those like battle royale.
That's fun too.
I played. Yeah, that was fun.
Mario 35 is a joy that I will never feel again. It's the greatest. It's maybe my favorite thing ever created.
Haven't people like kept it around? I think people preserved it.
Oh, can you? I don't know. It's still on my Switch. My partner just walked in the room and said it was a very dark day in this house.
Auth kept getting into like these Japanese lobbies somehow. Like he would do something and get into the Japanese lobbies, and things got like really intense.
Oh man,
because they were doing all sorts of stuff we never even thought about doing over here in the U.S. And I'm like, this the whole time watching those lobbies, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Auth, wild.
There were some times when you would get into a match where it was, you could see the person like parking before a Lakitu level. To be like, I'm going to make a Lakitu chain. I do not care if I win or lose, but I'm going to get a Lakitu chain going. And like, oh God, there you... Okay, and sometimes, you know, they'd probably die or something, but then sometimes... Okay, here we go. This is what we're going to deal with now.
Oh, God. I want to say, I think people have kept that game alive in like a private server kind of way or something. I don't know for sure, but I still think we need to see a Pikmin speedrun out of you at some point. Luigi, I know you always go back to it. Is it Pikmin or Pikmin 2 that you always go back to?
Pikmin, okay. But yeah, like that's usually an afternoon, like that's an 8-hour day for me to get through Pikmin 1. But like I shave off a day or two each time, so I'm getting there, but I haven't played it in a few months. But when I have like a day where it's just like, I don't know.
Well, Sky, Mercy Kill's not the only hotfix show you do as well. You do random number generation, which is all about showing off randomizers and stuff. Is that one just bred from your own love of randomizers or something else? I actually don't remember which one, because you started both of them at similar times. Which one did you start first?
RNG started first.
Okay, I thought so. Yeah. Is that just bred out of a love of randomizers, or what brought that about?
Well, I had always felt that there was never enough randomizers in a marathon. Like, I'd always look at a marathon and be like, there's so much potential here. Because at first, we're talking like 2017, 2018-ish. I don't know if it was for legal reasons or what, but marathon organizers in general, I'm not just talking about one marathon. Like, multiple marathons were skeptical of having randomizers at their event. Again, maybe it was kind of trying to weave through, okay, well, how do we make this work at an event? Then how do we choose who gets to play what? But I always wanted
it's
to
so
see
easy.
More randomizers at events. And I had actually played Zelda 1 Rando for about 2.5 years at that point. So I wanted to show randomizers on Hotfix, because if we don't get to see them at a lot of events, that is a good way to showcase what folks have been working on. So that's how RNG came to be.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think you can just the ability to vet a seed ahead of time doesn't necessarily guarantee that they'll be able to do it. But you could be like, no, this is doable. This isn't like asking too much. I don't know. I think it's like there's a little bit more control than you'd think just from having like, oh, it's a randomizer, you know.
I think I fell in love with randomizers the most when I saw the first transition from Link to the Past into Super Metroid and vice versa. The first day I saw that, I was just blown away by it.
I wish that were possible in more games. it's so cool.
Well, now we see it now. I mean, currently right now, Ocarina of Time Majora's Mask has been worked on and in development right now.
Sorry, so, let me rephrase. Mm-hmm. I wish we would see that out of more non-Nintendo games.
Oh, well, fair enough. You know, everyone's always going to have that first love with Nintendo because that was the family-friendly console that everyone had while growing up. So you're always going to see some form of Nintendo bias there for sure. But yeah, there should be more. I mean, imagine a link between Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2. I think that would be pretty fun.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That'd be great. But honestly, so like for me, randomizers, Ori and the Blind Forest was the first randomizer I dove into, which is still an extremely awesome randomizer that nobody watches on Twitch. And and we when Ori 2 came out, before the game had even like existed, we were talking about how we were going to have scene shuffler or scene like scene shuffle combo randomizer between Ori 1 and Ori 2. And I think that's at the moment still a pipe dream. But man, people were trying for a bit to see if they could make that happen. And thankfully, both games do have very cool randomizers now. But it's just being able to, like, take games within the same series even and be able to, like, test your knowledge on all of them at the same time is an extremely enticing concept to me.
Yeah, I mean, in Kingdom Hearts, it wouldn't be that hard to do. Put a door in Traverse Town and put a connecting one in Twilight Town. Like, it's
yeah. The problem is the putting a door part. In Cage 2, they figured out kind of how to do that. In Cage 1, it's a little harder. People are still working on those randos every day, though. I'm personally working on a multi-world with some people for Cage 2 rando, so hopefully that'll get wrapped up at some point.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're sort of doing that, but within a game, within just one game itself, but spread amongst other people. So yeah,
those are fun too. What are some of your favorite randomizers you've had on RNG, Sky?
Oh, there's so many good ones. I always love Link to the Past Super Metroid. Like, that's always one that everybody gets into. Majora's Mask was a recent one. I really enjoyed seeing that for the first time. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, always a delight. Although, I think I've only had two randomizer on. I don't think I've had one.
Probably.
I would like to have one on at some point. But two, I've had on multiple times, and that's pretty fun as well. I like the hit list. We've seen some of the hit list randomizers go. I would like to have Banjo-Kazooie on at some point. I haven't gotten to see that one work yet, but I've heard that one's a delight.
Oh, that's a lot, because there's just so much shit in that game. there's just so much shit to get that, like, oh man, because I'm sitting here like, Majora's Mask sounds intriguing, but like, it's just that's nuts, because there's so many different little side things you could be doing at any given time. Also, there's a bunch of giant chests everywhere with red rupees in them that make me angry. But if you're a giant chest, you should have more than just a red rupee.
You want an ice?
I'm sorry.
You want an ice trap instead? You don't get anything from that. That's a kick in the pants.
Those are usually like in the tiny chest, though.
Not in a randomizer. randomizer would show up anywhere.
Right. But yeah, that sounds kind of crazy. But Banjo-Kazooie, I don't know if I'd ever. That would just be like, the only thing that would be worse would be Donkey Kong 64, which I know people
that
do.
That has been on. That has been on twice now by popular demand, actually.
Yeah, people love that one.
Oh, banana. That's probably why.
Well, I blame Kuiper for that, you know, talking about how many times the dump's been taken. That's terminology for the randomizer for folks listening.
I'm not familiar with that terminology, but I believe you, and I'm
you have to dump like architectural things somewhere or something like that. Okay. So, you know, Spike, with the way he is, oh, Kuiper, how many times have you dumped today? And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yes, quite familiar.
Bless you, Spike.
The thing that's great about RNG, though, as a show, and why I feel like it'll be a more sustainable show in the long run is that people are always developing stuff with randomizers. Even if it's like a familiar game, there's always new innovations being made and new reasons to show these randomizers, and people who are very passionate about these projects. So I think RNG will definitely be around for quite some time.
There's a lot you could do with that.
I mean, it's literally when they first started coming around, there were, you know, some people who were kind of skeptical or didn't really get it. But as somebody who came from playing like a lot of League of Legends and just other competitive multiplayer games, you realize that the randomizer really just gives you the same thing those games give you, which is a game that is different every single time you play it. You never play the same game twice. And speedruns are all about playing the exact same game hundreds and hundreds of times. So it's nice to get a change of pace every now and then and have a randomizer where you can play this game that you know extremely well and you have played hundreds of times, and yet it's still going to be different every time you jump into a new seat, every time you play it again.
And the strats all transfer over.
Like they transfer over. You pull back strat knowledge from 7 years ago that isn't relevant in a speed run anymore, but is now relevant in a randomizer. I think that's honestly some of my favorite parts about it, is just like knowing all these obscure bits of knowledge from old runs that end up resurfacing because they're just useful in some new randomizer context.
Fant had a couple of Zooter videos of, look, here's this one specific thing. Here's some bomb shoes for Dodongo eyes. Like, here's my setup. Do this, do that. You're going to need this. Trust me, you're going to need it.
I think you all have hit the nail on the head, though. You know, speedrunning's been around for a very long time, and there's going to come to a point. You know, we're all getting older, first of all. You realize that? We're all getting older. You only have two wrists, two hands, right? Ideally, so, like, what's going to happen is we're all going to get tired of doing those same speedruns over time, and one of the best ways you can take care of yourself is to do stuff that doesn't have as many repetitive motions to it, and sometimes randomizers can provide that outlet so you're not doing the same repetitive motions that could end up with a hand or wrist injury. So just something to consider.
Until you play him for 11 hours a day and then you do too many seeds in a row.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. I agree. So to kind of circle back a bit, bring it back to just speedrunning in general and whatnot. You have a lot of experience with the Mario games, but you talked about Forbidden Memories and stuff. What kinds of things attract you to a specific game for speedrunning or jumping in as a randomizer?
For speedrunning and randomizer, there has to be a certain level of familiarity, which Auth always critiques me. He's like, are you going to play anything new? You keep playing the same old stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's just, it's my comfort food. You know, we always have those comfort foods we return to. Well, figure out a way for me to enjoy my comfort foods in a different way, but I still have them. And except this time we're talking about video games. And that's the way that's the attraction that I have to something, right? Is just, do I have familiarity with this? I mean, you don't see randomizers of current games for a reason. Those are kind of hard considering the technology folks have to work with nowadays. So figuring out a way to transform an old beloved favorite into something that is different every single time, that's what's going to attract me over to a game every time. I mean, even Forbidden Memories has a randomizer, if you didn't know. I mean, someone's like, wait, isn't that just a randomizer into its own? No, it actually does have a randomizer. Keyseron and I have actually been submitting that the last couple times, Forbidden Memories randomizer, which, by the way, is easier than the vanilla game, which is hilarious to think about.
Oh, so not surprising.
That's the thing. Give me a twist on a game that I've absolutely loved to play for years, and I will give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, so OG classic elitist Sky revealed on the podcast. No new hotness, only old and busted. That's all she wants.
I'm a simple person with simple needs. What can I say? I'm the cat that plays with the box, not with the new toy in it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it.
I'm going to play Bubsy again. You
I have. Don't get me started on that rabbit hole. You don't want to know how many copies of Bubsy games I have in my place alone. No.
Ooh, send me some.
No, Auth would never part with them. They're treasured possessions.
Copies of Bubsy 3D just on his TV alone. The last time I went to a GDQ in person, I went to my room to put my stuff down. Auth was there early. There was already a copy of Bubsy 1 on our bed in the hotel room. And I'm like, Auth, this has to stop somewhere. Oh my gosh. Like I said, that's a thing for a different day. Living with author blues is a thing.
Tiffy will take any Bubsy copies you do not want. So yeah,
this guy's just gonna start mailing them in secret at midnight, like just
running copies out to the, of Bubsy. Too many.
Running out to the Dropbox, just slipping them in.
What could possibly go wrong?
Black hood and everything.
Oh my gosh, he's even got a cross stitch of it. I don't know where he hung it in his office. He's got a cross stitch of Bubsy in there, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
priceless.
Oh god,
priceless.
That's one way to put it. I don't know how else you put it here, but that's one way to put it. Oh my goodness,
certainly not worthless, just priceless.
Well, another you talked about, like, the, you know, performance and entertainment that you'd like to bring to various showcases and showings and stuff. And one of the other things you've done for a very long time has been a host on various, like, speedrun marathons to read donations, keep people entertained in between runs and stuff like that. Is that something that you kind of fell into? Is it something you thought you would always enjoy doing or be good at? Or what really brought all that about, and what do you like about doing it?
I think I've been more or less performing my entire life. You know, if it was choir, I was one of them choir geeks in high school and college, and then I taught freshman composition and even tutored in Spanish and English for a little while. I always had done some form of performance, because what is teaching but you're trying to get this subject probably uninteresting to the people trying to listen to it at 8 o'clock in the morning, ungodly hours might I add, and you have to turn it into something interesting so it gets absorbed. Well, all of those skills that I picked up through undergrad and graduate school translated on over into streaming, into hosting, And if you can figure out what your target audience is and how to captivate them, you can do some real good with that. So I decided to put those skills to use, and I applied to host for AGDQ 2015. That was before there was a really fancy audition process for it. I got accepted to my first one, and I've never looked back since. I did hosting for that, for Calithon, Power Up with Pride. I've done a variety of events at this point, and that's just me donating my time for good, just to, you know, keep practicing those skills. You never know when I might need them. I also do esports commentary, professional esports commentary for the Venus and Mercury League. Also, that is a Magic the Gathering league for persons of marginalized genders, and I've been more or less sticking with that, too. I do play-by-play and color commentary for that. So everything's been kind of translating over really nicely.
I didn't know you did, like esports comms for Magic. I knew that you did plenty of Magic broadcasts and stuff, but I didn't know that you did commentary as well. That's great.
Yeah. It's been for a couple of years now, on and off, because it depends on when VML's in session and whatnot. But they've been pretty regular about that now, so they've been having me on there. Like, we've never had somebody, like, so excited and, like, kind of built up place, because the Magic community's like, all right, gonna cast a Delver of Secrets here. Here's the optimal play. It's gonna flip over into a 3. But me, it's like, all right, so here it comes. It's gonna flip into a 3/3. What's in the hand now? Are they gonna unsummon it? Or are you gonna attack? And I just kind of go into a thing, and they love that. They love that shtick. So,
tell us more about the league.
Yeah, sure. So it's like the equivalent of Frame Fatale for speedrunning. This is like the VML is like the Frame Fatale of Magic. So it's kind of translates over like that. And that's what I do. It's really difficult to be a marginalized gender in the community. So I tried my best to be a leader and kind of pave the way forward, because it's a jungle out there on the internet. So I just try to be the best role model I can, bring some character, some energy into it, and just do my best every step of the way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Honestly, we got through a lot of the stuff that I wanted to ask about. Luigi, do you have anything else? Obviously, we'll just edit this
part. I said Blue Yoshi's the best Yoshi. we made sure of that.
I guess the last thing I want to leave folks with regarding this whole thing is that if you have a goal in mind, give yourself enough time to accomplish that. You know, I got in with Oregon Trail at SGDQ 15, and I didn't get another run until AGDQ 2022, which that's a pretty long stretch. So I want to tell folks, don't be afraid to take a break. Don't be afraid to pursue other interests, because you never know when you throw your hat in the ring, and then all of a sudden an old goal that you never thought would be accomplished gets accomplished. So just want to let folks know, like, don't give up. There's a lot of speedrunning events out there. They're very competitive. Hosting's very competitive. You just keep putting your hat in the ring, and if for some reason it gets overwhelming, switch to something else for a little while and then throw your hat back in the ring again. You never know what might happen. So stay positive. You got this, and just keep going.
Hear, hear. Hell yeah.
Yes. Agreed. And if they wanted to find more of things you do, Where might our listeners be able to do that?
You can find me at twitch.tv/skybills. I am there most nights starting around 7:30, 8 p.m. Eastern. I believe it's every night but Friday at this point. Games Done Quick, you'll find me there every other Tuesday and Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. RNG is every other Tuesday. Mercy Kill is every other Wednesday. You can also find me at YouTube. I just hired a new editor. We're going to be putting some highlights up there, which is going to be AKA me spewing profanities and other funny things you never get to hear me say while hosting and being family friendly, so you may want to consider tuning into that soon. That is going to be a fun medium. I'm also on Twitter at Skybills and on Instagram at Skybills.
Can we have an example of profanity?
Oh, well, I've been doing stuff on the regular with Spike, and he'll just start saying, you know, titties or something like that, and I'll just be me cackling away until I say, son of a, you know, and, you know, insert profanity. Mm. You know?
Son of titties.
I can't do it here. This is, like, such a formal place, you know? Like, I respect you all. I feel weird swearing.
Sky, I'm literally drinking a beer right now, and I think just spilled a little bit of all it. Right, like, well, formal place.
One last thing before we close up the AGDQ thing. Legit. One of the hardest things about being on the AGDQ stage is not cursing, especially when you're playing Forbidden Memories or a shuffler. I'm just saying, like, after that, I had to have a beverage after. I remember getting up from my desk after saying, I need a stiff drink right now, because that was too stressful. And don't curse. Like, find fake curse words in advance that you can fall back on, because it is tough. It is tough when you're used to cursing on your own stream, especially at content that is very much just there to piss you off. Yeah.
I found it's usually the things that, like, are all about things that are all about making me more angry or something, or just something like that, that make it a lot harder to not let one slip.
Oh yeah, you ever see like my eyes bulging when I'm on the camera like this? You can't see it, but they're bulging. That's where I want to insert a fuck word into that. But, you know, that just, we can't do that. You can't do that on a charity stage. So just, yeah.
Yeah, as someone who does a family-friendly Zelda podcast, yeah, I have to turn that shit off. And back in the day, we used to record the swearing one, which was about video game news, which I would swear quite lots about video game news.
Got to balance it out, you know.
Yeah, and then the very next half hour would be like, oh, I have to pull that all back in. Now, did you get it all out? I hope so.
Well, the most famous on RNG, Auth got so pissed at La Mulana one night. He said, this fucking game. And like, Auth, you have to cool it off. You can't do that. At least it was hotfix and not an event, but still, he was just like, this fucking game. Like, he just let it go. And I was worried I was going to be in trouble. Richard's laughing on the other line at Auth.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
If that ever happens on GDQ, by the way, if you do accidentally curse, just say, I'm sorry, move on, and don't swear again. That's all you got to do. It happens. Staff is just, overall very understanding. Just don't do it again, you know?
Staff will be like, well, it's La Mulana, so, you know, right.
Listen, he got his one.
Covert Muffin still gets runs in, so, you know, it's he's let him fly before by accident.
Well, I just want to say, Luigi, it was fantastic meeting you. Hobbs, always a delight to be talking to you, and thanks for having me here. I enjoy sharing my stories in speedrunning, card gaming, hosting, you know, the other 20 things I do daily, but I'm always happy to talk.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for teaching us about life.
About where you can find yourself saying, this is not my beautiful Mario Tutu. No, sorry. I got to go back to it.
So there's water at the bottom of Tutu.
Remove the Mario from the bottom of the ocean. Hobbs, where do you find yourself?
Well, I find myself in a beautiful place called Google. Put in JHOBZ, and that's probably the easiest way. You get to my Twitch, my Twitter that I barely use anymore, and my speedrun.com profile. Lately been working on a full series learning of the Kingdom Hearts series, learning all the speedruns, except the games I don't want to. And going to be doing a whole full series run of those soon. Also on GDQ Hotfix every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern with the first step. And Kizaron is learning some Pokemon games. So we just were like, let's just race those against each other. And we've been doing that. So it's been super fun. Y'all should check it out. Otherwise, I don't know, I pop up on GDQ sometimes. Just pay attention. just follow there.
Speaking of not really using much social media, yeah, no, I don't know. You can find us on Discord. That's probably the easiest way to talk to me. I've been thinking about changing, like, any of the headers on my social media to good luck. this is here to squat on my name, which is luigisapartment.com if you want to find my Twitch channel. And someday it will be active again. But in the meantime, if you want to hear me, go check out Chat of the Wild. This is a Legend of Zelda book club show. We are working our way through the whole series, including Zelda likes, which we're playing Star Fox Adventures right now. So talking made up dinosaur languages abound. But yeah, Tears of the Kingdom's coming soon, so that will probably be my entire life for a while.
I'm sure.
So someone reminded me that Starfield comes out soon. I was like, well, yeah, if they don't announce another Mario game, then I'll probably take a month off to cram Starfield in like I did Odyssey, and then go back to playing the new Zelda game for the rest of the year. We'll see. But you can find this show at needforspeedrunning.com, or you can support us over at patreon.com/possiblybad. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, patreon.com/possiblybad. If you chip in $5 a month minimum, you get access to all kinds of exclusive benefits, like the commentary tracks we record during the main episodes, as well as access to episodes early, some special behind the scenes videos, stuff that like Spike and I used to work on that we're just releasing only on Patreon now, a new perk that we're trying out, watch parties.
That you will have missed.
Yeah, you'll have missed the first one because it's the day after we're recording this. But we are we're doing some watch parties. We're watching a bunch of GDQ runs for this first one. But in general, we want to have people submit speed runs that they want to hang out and watch with us in Discord and chat about. So be sure to subscribe at patreon.com/possiblybad if you want to catch those. And of course, got to give very special shout outs to all of our awesome executive producers. Everybody subscribed at the $10 tier or more. We have Professor Hal, Brian Ward, Ethan King, Hypixion, Lisa Slack, Hylian Gamer, 01, Lossian Luponis, and Tom Mangar. Thank you all so much for subscribing at that tier and being an executive producer of the show.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to like randomize every 30 seconds and I'm just going to just mix them up and they'll have to find the episode themselves.
That sounds great for our viewers or our listeners. That sounds like a great
idea.
What's
even better is I'll upload it as the project file. So it'll be like a gig and a half that they'll have to download and then they can plug it into their own editing software program. And then they can just go in there and just go to town, you know, just kind of start mixing stuff around, man.
So if you're hearing this, you already solved the puzzle. Great job, everybody.
You're hired.
All right, we'll get out of here. Thanks again, Sky.
And thank you.
Everybody go check out Sky's stuff, and we'll see you all next time.
That was a dark day in this house.